long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday Morning here with Robin Walter, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you. Great to have you here today. I'm going to shift gears. The last three programs have been a little bit of a series, and a serious series, but they all are. They're all serious as far as I'm concerned. And let's start with prayer because I don't want to risk forgetting it. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord God, today. Pray that you'd open up your word unto me, Father, and make it clear, make it known, and in a way that I can transmit, I can pass on what I sense you saying through your word for the building up of the saints, the edifying of the body. That's what preaching and teaching is about, is to edify the saints and to build them up and to prepare them for what's ahead. Whether that's in the next 15 minutes, the next 15 days, 15 months, or 15 years, or beyond. Father, we thank you, and we love you, and we give you praise and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, today, I'm going to do a little bit of a self-analysis of sorts as part of a teaching thing, because I want to show you where I've struggled. And then what I've learned a bit from those struggles, and what's the way out of those struggles. And it deals with defining success. How do you define success? And in the definition of success, once you do define it and understand it, what success is, it will help you manage and endure your disappointments and sometimes what would seem like failures. So, if you don't know what success is, how do you know what a failure is? Or how do you know what the disappointments can control us if we don't understand what success actually is? And I'm going to run through a few things. I've got actually, that sounds like the beginning of a new book, but it's not. Well, it could be. Who knows? And it's a bit of my own analysis, looking at my life and wondering why some things don't go better. Why I haven't achieved certain things that have been goals, but I'm not achieving them, at least in the way that I've hoped or anticipated. And I'm just going to start. I'm a lawyer. I didn't go to law school until I was in my 30s. So a little bit of a late start. Means I couldn't get really a job at a typical high-end law firm, even though I, praise God, I graduated first in my class. But they don't like guys who are in their early to mid-30s because they have their own way of doing things, and they probably have kids and so forth, which I did, and that lessens their ability to abuse you and exploit you, to sum that up. So I've essentially practiced solo. And I like that. That's kind of where I am. That fits me pretty well. And I feel like I have been and am a good lawyer. But am I a great lawyer? I don't sense that. I have no Supreme Court victories to point to. There are a lot of things I could point to that seem like, well, they met the needs of my clients, but nothing that would give me an opportunity, let's say, to speak to the public as an attorney that has accomplished certain things that would cause me worthy to be listened to. And maybe that's by design, because what I'd want to share is the gospel, and that's not made for most places. My books. I've got two books, things I picked up along the way, and a few things I should have left behind. That's one of them. The first book was A Rapture Revisited. Finally, a lawyer takes a look at end-time events. I have not it's been kind of tepid sales, but I also don't know how to market. I do not know how to do that. And most of all, I don't want to do that. This is my marketing. I tell you on the air that I got these books for sale. And the people that have gotten them have really appreciated them. I have had not one single person, not a single person write me and push back on the Rapture Revisited, Finally a Lawyer Takes a Look at End Time Events, because I prove that there is not a there's a rapture. It's not a pre-trib rapture. So I get pushback. I have people that tell me the other book is great, it's funny, it's insightful, but it doesn't really go anywhere sales-wise. Is it a failure? No. Is it a success? No. I've been on the air 21 years. No, I'm not on CNN, Newsmax. I don't want to be on CNN, but Newsmax, Fox. No, it's never gone to that. It's not a radio program that's syndicated throughout the United States, much less the world or anything of that sort. I have a very faithful group of listeners who I appreciate greatly. People who love the program. There's some who hate the program. I always like to point to this, the fellow that from Las Vegas, who wrote me and said, you know, I don't like your program, and blah, 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 whatever it was. And then about a year later, I got another email from him and he said, I still don't like your program. Well, I thought, hey, this is pretty cool. He hates my program and he keeps listening to it for a year. Well, whatever. But there's never been a breakout moment. I don't know. I mean, and that wasn't why I did this. I've done this out of obedience, kind of ministry. But sometimes you kind of wonder, well, am I moving anyone's dial? Or if I'm not, it's not about me. The question is, am I faithfully bringing the Word of God in a way to move somebody's dial? That's all that I am. They call them influencers today. I don't really like that term. I would just rather be called a radio preacher or something. The fourth thing, I do get to preach itinerantly, but it's now and then. It's not enough to satisfy my desire. And where I go, I preach, those who might be listening, who've heard me preach in their churches, whatever, I don't hold back. I just don't, which is probably why I don't get invited much. I don't bring a knife to a gunfight, spiritually speaking. So maybe, I don't know, that just hasn't expanded the way that I would like it to. I've been in 5 political races since junior high. I've not won a single one of them. Not a one. Now, admittedly, I have been a conservative in a liberal area. Most of these were in California, a couple was in Michigan. Interestingly, in Michigan, I ran in a conservative area, but before I got saved, I ran as a Democrat. So I've always been in the wrong area. But the fact of the matter is, I share this with Abraham Lincoln. We each lost our first 5 elections. But then he started winning, and I stopped running. I don't know if God will call me back into that, but not a single win. Well, not since junior high. I did win a political race in junior high. Junior high. That's how far back I got to go. For junior high student council president, under the intimidating slogan, "Don't be a slob, vote for Rob." Well, that doesn't work as you mature, but haven't done that. I am not great at stock picking. I even had a Series 7 license at one point because I had to, as part of my law capacity, in the nature of the clients I was dealing with. Long story, and I don't want to even go further than that. But I don't. I don't pick well. This is going to shock you, but I actually owned NVIDIA 20 years ago. $17,000 worth of it, and I sold it for $25,000 or some or $20,000 or made $2,000. And I think today that'd be worth $100 million, something like that. Yeah. Well, if I had $100 million, I wouldn't be working. I wouldn't be doing anything because I'm no good without a task and a job. So I've got all these things and I think, man, God, you know, all right, is it the jack of trade, master of none? Well, No, not really. But it's easy to fall into, and I'm done preaching about myself because I'm thinking you got to identify with some of these things, that you begin to identify your success by other people's success. Is that not true? I mean, I don't care whether it was a girl or the boy you dated that you kind of don't know why some other boys or girls got the dates they got and you didn't. Why? I mean, maybe that's a lousy example. And I don't even know why I chose that because I have so many examples I could give you. I don't know why I would pick that one. Maybe it's because as a young man, I got dumped left and right. No, seriously, let me throw that one in there. That's another one. There was a period of time, well, mostly in college. It was, you know, went to school that was 70% male. But my gosh, I couldn't buy a date with a $100 bill taped to my forehead. So you get these things in. But the fact of the matter is, all right, there were other guys in the same position as I was. But I'm not comparing myself to other guys who we form a tight band of losers. No, I compared myself to the guys who just seemed like they went out with any girl that they wanted to in college. They all fell off. Why? I don't know. Probably because everyone I would have taken out would have been the wrong one. But can you identify? Do you have things that you've done reasonably well, but you didn't succeed at the level you hoped or desired or thought or convinced that God would have you succeed at? Do you have your own list? Is your list twice as long as mine? Probably not. Maybe half as long? Probably. And you think, God, why hasn't this turned out this way? Why didn't this, you know, why is it that, you know, why is it the radio program doing better? I'm happy with it, but I'd like to see it do better. I'd like to be a greater influence for good. And so maybe if it's a difficulty in managing our disappointments, comes down to the fact that we have not been actually able to define what constitutes success. You see, if you don't know what success is, then everything's going to look like a failure. Everything's going to seem like a disappointment. Everything is just going to be like the Tommy Smothers used to say to Dick, "Well, Mom always liked you best." He was always comparing himself to his brother. And it was and maybe Mom did like his brother best. Actually, the correct English was Mom would like you better. You'd have to have three boys to have best, but that's where my mother's English, and I hear her talking to me whenever I don't use the right grammar, comes back to kind of haunt me. But the fact is, it's easy to compare ourselves to others. What we don't do is compare ourselves to people in God's Word. Not like we should. And to God's Word. Not just people in God's Word, but to God's Word. And so, what is the definition of success? I mean, you can go through the scriptures, mostly the epistles. Paul writing from 1 Corinthians all the way through the end of Thessalonians, at the end of Thessalonians. And you can find all these things that we should be doing and we should not be doing. And, I mean, I get them confused. He said, you guys, avoid fornication. Learn how to possess your vessel. Okay, good words. Possess your vessel. Control your flesh. I got it. And there are, why not say I got it down, but I understand the concept. All right, so you got a whole bunch of things, and I could fill up this program, the next one, with the do's and don'ts. And life is not made up of do's and don'ts. It's not like you earn your salvation by not doing these things and definitely doing these other things, but he's just saying you want to have live a good, fulfilling life. These are things that you want to do. Treat these people well. Take care of the orphans and the widows. Don't mistreat orphans and widows. Whoa. Okay. I got that one down. And that one's near and dear to my heart anyway. I have no problem. Never struggled with that fact. If there's anything that upsets me more than anything else, the one thing is the abuse emotionally, physically, and spiritually of children. Oh, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. It could be, if I end up in prison someday, it's going to be for preaching or taking out some guy that abused a kid. It's down to those two. Well, I hope that doesn't happen, but it'll just be a different ministry, right? I mean, Paul had a prison ministry. Jesus had a jail ministry because he was, for a couple days anyway. Joseph, he had a prison ministry. There's a lot of guys who had prison ministries that are pretty good guys. But anyway, that's beside the point here. Were they failures? Did they look at their life as these disappointments? God, why am I in the hoosegow here? Why am I up the creek, up the river? I'm in the slammer, the joint. Why am I locked up? Well, why did I have to stand trial? Well, because there's a judge that doesn't know the word of God, and a bailiff that doesn't know the word of God, and a jury that only some of them know the word of God, and ends up in prison, and got a bunch of people don't know the word of God there either. So where God takes us is where he takes us by his design. But there are a couple of things that sort of override everything that we do. And I want to bring out a passage in Colossians 3:23 where Paul writes to him and says, whatever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. I mean, whatever you're going to do, do it as unto the Lord. I don't care if you're mowing your own lawn. Well, how can you be doing this unto the Lord? Well, I guess you get out there, you fire the mower up, and say, God, I commit this lawn to you. Fact of the matter is, I'm taking care of something that really doesn't belong to me. I just have possession of it for a very short time. And I'm going to be a good steward and mow your grass. Because you're the one that really owns it. You can find a way to do anything and everything that's good and appropriate, not sinful, obviously, but do it as unto the Lord. No matter how meaningless it seems to be, how just futile it seems to be. I remember when I got out of school, before I went to law school, I took a job in a factory. I worked there 3 days I found out who my boss was day one. I lasted 3 days. But my boss was a guy who was younger than I by 4 years. No problem there. I'm 20 something and he's 18. Just graduated from high school. He's got a job as my boss. And my job is to make boxes to put stuff in and ship them out. Well, that boss turned out to be a kid that about 6 years earlier actually had lived next to me, whose dog came over into our yard, a German shepherd by the name of King, and the dog proceeded to barf all over our yard. This part of the yard. I wasn't going to clean it up because I had to mow it. Well, now that I think about it, I had to go mow God's lawn. Somebody barfed in God's lawn. Well, no, that's carrying it away a little bit. But this dog did it, so I went over. And I got that kid, and doggone it, I made him come over and clean up the dog's barf. And here it is, fast forward 6 years later, he's my boss. How do I do that job as unto the Lord? I want to tell you, I didn't. But my excuse was the fact, and it was an excuse, that I didn't know the Lord yet. I was unsaved, but how would I have done it? Well, for I got bailed out. Actually, the superintendent of the school called and said, hey, I heard you're making boxes. Why don't you come over to the school and substitute teach? Well, that lasted for only a little while, too. But in any case, the point is, anything that's legitimate, you can do is unto the Lord. When you ask, am I a failure? Why am I doing this? Well, whatever it is you're doing, just say, okay, God, I don't know why I'm doing it. But I'm going to do it as unto you. I'm going to do it as you're my foreman, my boss, my overseer, my master. I'm going to do it in a manner to please you. This is not an easy thing to do. But it's all part of helping define success and then managing your disappointments after you have defined success. So, what does Paul say in writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy? And in chapter, gosh, what chapter is it? Chapter 4, he says, beginning here in verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, there's two things here that are critical in, and I want to suggest these need to be in your definition of success. Number one is, I have fought a good fight. Now, I'm kind of a fighter by nature. I kind of thrive in the trenches. But you don't have to be like that to fight a good fight. And the other half of that is, I have kept the faith. Now, I want to suggest you can keep the faith, but not fight a really great fight. In other words, you kind of go chicken on some things. You don't speak up where you should. Well, is that keeping the faith? Well, you're not out sinning. You're not doing an egregious evil work, not even a nominally disobedient work, other than you're just kind of lacking the fortitude to do what you ought to do for fear of maybe a rejection. And you can be fighting a good faith fight and not be entirely in the faith that you should be. You're doing it because I heard a guy the other day. He was introduced on a pastor's radio program. I was listening to him, and he talked about his fight, all of his fights, and we just never got to a point of faith. And it kind of troubled me. I turned him off. Maybe he did get to it. I turned it off. And I moved on. But I'd like to suggest that the strength and the value of one really depends upon the strength, existence, and value of the other. And why do I say that? Because Paul, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, puts the two together. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, I didn't say anything about finishing the course because that's kind of in the middle. You can make this a three-part, as lawyers like to say, it's a tripart test. Well, it's a tripart passage here. There's three things: a good fight, finishing the course. I have kept the faith. Finishing the course is a factor of doing all that God has told you to do. You fought a good fight. God, did I speak up? Did I stand up on your behalf when at that school board meeting? No, I didn't, but give me another chance. I will. All right, sort of like Peter, he denies Jesus, right? He grieves, grievous grief for denying Jesus. But what we know of him was that he didn't commit that sin again. He fought a good fight at that point. He was going to finish the course, and he did. He was crucified, as tradition says, I guess, upside down. He kept the faith. And so what is it that, where is it that I'm going with this? Well, where I'm going with this is success is, are you doing what God has told you to do? Are you following His instructions? Are you fighting a good fight? Are you keeping the course that you sense that He's called you to do? Have you kept the faith? Now, to me, maybe keeping the faith is the easiest thing. I've been a Christian for a long time. It's not that I haven't sinned. Lord knows I have. Most of the time I fight a good fight. But I also want to finish my course. I don't want to fall over on the side of the track and give up before I cross the finish line. What does it say? He who endures to the end shall be saved. So what's the converse of that? You don't endure to the end. Apparently you don't go to heaven. Yikes. So the point here is, are you doing what God has led you to do? And if you know, if doing what God has called you to do is your definition of success, then that helps define and control and endure the disappointments. Because the disappointments are just things that, well, okay, that's disappointing, but I'm doing what God's called me to do. And after I had this deep introspective this last week, and I have to thank my younger son for actually inspiring this message. But the fact of the matter is, I feel as though that I'm not done with as being a lawyer. I have more to do in that capacity. Not to become great, but to finish my course as I have been called. The book sales, they are what they are. I feel as though I have said and written exactly what God would have me to say or write. And in fact, when I do get a chance to speak, sometimes I am pulling the stuff right out of those books as my teaching point. I have been faithful in this program 21 years. It hasn't grown like it should, but maybe it will, maybe it won't. Maybe I'll forever have training wheels on this. But maybe it's going to continue to be what I always see myself as Ezekiel, the guy with a strong message that nobody really likes that much. That's right. They don't like his message. So his message doesn't have legs. I get to preach it itinerantly. When I do, I'm thrilled at it. Like I said, it's not enough, but maybe there's something coming up. The 5 political races. Hey, every single race that I've been in since I got saved was ministry. My point apparently was not to be in the Michigan legislature or the California legislature. It was to tell people about biblical things while I'm in the race, people who had never come to church. And about those stock picks, you know why I sold NVIDIA? Is because it went bad. It went bad morally. I've sold everything that is morally bad. And I sit back and I said, God, you know, why do the righteous prosper? Why do the wicked prosper? All I have to do is be obedient to what God has called me to do. And you too. You just be obedient. You don't have to look behind you. You don't have to look left or right. You look straight ahead unto the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're faithful, you're fighting a good fight, you have every intention of finishing the course, you're keeping the faith, guess what? You are a success. Because what does it say? It says in Scripture, well done, a good and faithful servant. Please listen to this.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints to not just survive, but to thrive in the end times. Through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona 85358. Thank you.
I hope you got that. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you're doing what he's called you to do and you've been faithful, you are a success. The results are up to God. God bless you. See you next week.